Blog Talk Radio.
Change? Shit. I guess change is good for any of us. Whatever it takes for any of y'all niggas to get up out the hood. Oh, shit, I'm with you. I ain't mad at you. Got nothing but love for you. Do you think, boy? Yeah. All the homies that I ain't talking to.
I am not mad at you.
Welcome to the Focus Show. This is me, Sean T. Daniels, coming from you from Louisville, Kentucky. This Sunday, part two from Saturday, the audacity to claim you're descendants of American slaves in the 21st century. Tupac, I'm not mad at you. So let me go ahead and set the stage so you understand. For you who might have been on the show or was listening yesterday, you know, we was, my sister Queen put the title and everything together for the show. And, you know, and I was just so excited to hear, where she was going, what was her thinking and everything. And I think I came there with my own anticipation and excitement of where that was going. Because, you know, I'm a thinking man. I'm not a person that's just, don't have my own thoughts and my ideology, point of views. And so I think I was fooled. I know I was fooled with a tremendous amount of thoughts and ideologies of where that conversation was going. The audacity to claim you're descendants of American slaves. And I thought about it. I thought it was important to continue that conversation because we got really captured in a lot of different things. And, you know, me, Sean, you know, those who don't know me, if you've been around, you know, brother can get a little excited and stirred up because, you know, his bottom line is that I love my people. I love us. I get tired of hearing BS, you know, when I came out of the military and everything, because I went in the military when I was 17. I was a little boy. I didn't have no direction. I didn't have no understanding. The military taught me how to become a man. It gave me a tremendous amount of confidence. It helped me to, you know, I got married while I was in the military. I received education. I raised my hand for. I risked my life for this country. I mean, so many things that a little boy that, you know, come from Miami, Florida, poking beans and everything, who didn't have none. When I found out my own father didn't even want me, but my mother decided to have me. My mother gave me my name. I know my beginnings. I know where I came from. I understand that I used to get picked on by people who looked like me before the first European man ever put their hand. Oh, no, actually, no European man ever put their hand on me. All I ever had is people who looked like me put their hands on me, talk about me, mistreat me, dog me, and just hurt me and everything. And then I go in the military, and the military helped me to develop and become the man that I am today. And I come out the military proud, happy, totally ignorant to the civilian world, but I'm ready to come back and integrate myself back into the civilian world. And I didn't want to go back to Miami because, you know, going back to Miami and everything, I'm just going to hang out with a bunch of dudes trying to do. And I found out that really, you know, I had outgrown where I started from. So it's cool that I needed to start up, because the military helps you to be able to pick up anywhere you can, and you could be a man instead of, because the bottom line, you learn how to create a perimeter about yourself, and then you decide what kind of life. I'm a surgical technologist, so I understood I can get a job, go out here, make some good money. I got married. Let my children bought a home, put a perimeter around my house and everything. And I decided, and then this one day when I was just happy doing what I was doing, going to work, coming home, paying my bills, loving on my wife, taking care of my kids, doing the things that I was doing. And I saw in Louisville, Kentucky, all this violence, killing and everything going on. And I may, and you know, my wife, she probably regrets it now, but I sat there on my couch and I was looking at the news and I saw the news and I was just, I was like, what is wrong? Why are y'all killing one another? What is going on? Man, what's wrong in this city? And I was talking about the city. I was like, because you got to understand, I'm not from here. I wasn't from here. I was just, you know, when you're not from here, all you're doing is an outside. If there was, as you say, niggas, Negroes, Blacks, and African American males that was already here before I got here and everything. And so all I was doing is that I plucked one sister out and got married and developed a home. She wanted to live in the heart of Weston. Understand, I'm a retired man. I didn't have to live in the company of those who look like me. I could have lived anywhere because my financial and capabilities allowed me to be able to go anywhere I wanted to go. I could have lived in an environment and everything where my home, $250,000, $300,000, I could have gone there easily with no problem. My baby, she's from Louisville. She wants to stay among her people and everything. So we bought a compound within the community that we was in. And I said, you know, cool, I'm all right with that. So one day, I come home from my hard work, doing what I was doing, looking at the news, killing and shooting, Negroes shooting one another. And I'm sitting up there complaining. Actually, I wasn't complaining. I was just evaluating. What is wrong? And, you know, my wife, she wanted to protect her own. She said, why are you always talking about us? Why are you always talking? What? Then she made the, I know now, 20 years later, she wished she wouldn't have never said this, but she said, you ain't doing nothing. What you gonna do? You ain't doing nothing. You're talking about these people and everything. What you gonna do? Hello? What she didn't know, because, you know, she didn't know that I am a bad mother. Shut your mouth, surgical technologist. Sergeant first class, was a leader, had a platoon, you know, I mean, you ain't saying, a leader? You ain't said nothing about what I'm going to do? Ha! All right, cool. Let me show you what I'm going to do. So I got involved with my community, created an organization called Man Up USA, okay, .net. Got involved with my community and decided that I wanted to put together a peace fest for George Huff from American Idol. My wife and I spent some money and put that together. I remember the Louisville Peace Fest 2006 that I helped organize, went around to the community to try to get some people involved with me. These people didn't know who I was. Who was this articulate brother who ain't from here going around here talking about he's trying to help stop violence in our community? And so, again, didn't know nobody around here. Didn't know no one, but I thought that I was going to get involved because I looked like the people that I was trying to help. I thought that maybe, you know, I would get the love and the respect from people because I was trying to do something good. I thought, really, that some of the religious leaders that I was at, this is when I was quite naive, I thought that really some of the people who call themselves leaders in this community really wanted the same thing. They want to stop the violence. They want to do good in our community. They want to do the right thing. They want to help our children. They want to help our wives. Hey, why not? Let me go to all these religious organizations, these black leaders, and all the religious leaders, all the European religious leaders on the east end, and they looking at, of course they want to help and do things. So my wife, you know, because I've already had resources. I had money, okay? We had, so I take the time, get the stage that cost me over $10,000 to put a stage together. Get bands and groups and everything, because I'm trying to put together the Peace Fest. Stop the violence, Louisville. Brothers, you don't have to fight and shoot and kill anyone. Let's come out and come to a Peace Fest so we can be able to talk. And I'm a believer, so I went and got George Huff from American Idol. If y'all don't know who I'm talking, George Huff, that was an American Idol contestant. I actually reached out to him, paid for George Huff to come to Louisville, Kentucky, and everything. My wife took him around. I got the pictures. I got the proof that all this took place. Oh, let me just get on down to what happened. Well, all those Negroes, so-called leaders, shook my hand. Yes, Nation, I like what you're doing. I like an entrepreneur. I like your spirit. I just want to help you, and I'm going to help you. So I was naive. I thought they really wanted to help me. I thought they were really on board with me. Well, the day of the event, we found out not only did they not help me, they didn't even tell nobody about the event. Not only did they not send nobody there, they didn't even return none of my phone calls. Ignore me, they played me like a little chump and everything. They said things to me like what their words didn't matter. And so, of course, here I am, the paid money for my artists to be protected by big dudes from Fort Knox, because I convinced them that I was going to pay them. We thought that the media came out, and it was so many events going on that day that not only did we only get a small crowd, we basically didn't get nobody. It was so hot and everything. It was crazy. came down to the end of the day and everything, my wife and I, just to get right down to it, we were out of $30,000 to $40,000. And my wife, I had just been newly married to her 10 years. I never forget, a man never forget when that thing came to an end and I took my wife home. And she looked at me and wanted to know, who the fuck has she married who put her in this debt, the debt that we, because everybody ran out on me. But I had $40,000 of debt. I had people who had to get paid and everything. And instead of bankruptcy, what most people would have done, because, you know, that's not who I am. The person who actually came to my side was my wife. We was only married, but we had only been married less than 10 years. I had money, but I didn't have all the money. This woman went into her own finances, her own thing. This is when I realized how much she loved me. She cared for me, and she loved me because she said to me, basically, I know you a good man. You was trying to do the right thing. And people took advantage of you, and so we're going to get out of this situation. And I didn't belly up on nobody. I paid everybody. I saved our name. I showed everybody that if I said I was going to pay you, I paid them. My wife and I, we went basically $50,000 to $60,000 in the hole. I'll never forget that. When you're burned by people who lie to you and deceive you, and you think that they're your family, your friends, because they say, I'm your brother. I'm a brother. I'm one of you. You try to take people by their words and everything to what they say. At that time, God, I guess I truly believe God was trying to teach me something. I was just so naive about the civilian world of blackness. I was so naive. I came out of the military with all this ideas and everything. But I got a real awakening. And so I play that song by Tupac. I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you. I understand. You know, Mr. Norris Shelton gave me that book, America's Little Black Book. Many of y'all don't understand. I'm from Miami. I had resentment in my heart. I knew exactly who hustled me. I knew exactly who lied to me. I know exactly who looked me in my face and told me the things that I know exactly. People who smile, gave me smiling faces and lied to me. See, the military, you don't forget when somebody take advantage of you and lie to you and mistreat you and basically act like you a freaking punk. And they were like they said something to you, but they weren't even accountable to do what they said they was going to do. I never forgot none of that. Haven't forgot none of it. But God had me meet Mr. Norris Shelton right after that took place. And I was introduced to America's Little Black Book, Mr. Norris Shelton wrote. And I read that book. And that's when I realized that I can't be mad at people who don't know who the hell they are. They don't know why they did what they did. They was out here just trying to hustle and take care of doing the things, the best thing that they knew how to do. I had to suck up my anger. I had to suck up my loss. I had to suck up everything that hurt. You know, when you lose your money and you know the people who caused you to lose your money, $50,000 ain't nothing to laugh at when you know the people who done that to you. There ain't nothing that you just sit about, I just lost. I didn't have it going on like that, okay? But to have my wife look at me the way that she looked at me, wondering, you know, let me tell you something. Most brothers, most sisters probably would have ran out on their man. She didn't run out on me. Most brothers probably would not have been able to come back from that to win my woman's trust, respect, and confidence that 22 years later, we still married. Not only we still married, but we bounced back financially stronger, marriage strong, so many different things. So much. touch is beautiful right now in my life. And I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you. Because God intended for me the audacity for me to say that I'm a descendant of American slave is why I am here today. And I believe that my opportunity to make a difference, to help people in that, yes, is that I, it is my intention to show and help people to become knowledgeable about why we are descendants of American slaves. And it comes from my spirit. And I got my sister that I'm bringing into the line. Miss Queen, how you doing, Miss Queen? Miss Queen.
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Yeah, how you
I'm
doing?
I'm right here, dear brother. I don't know how I'm doing. I don't know how I'm doing because, Ms. Sean, you have shared so much with me about your life, but I've never heard that story right there in particularly. So let me just say this before we even get started. I want to thank you, dear brother, for your efforts, but also let me give a heartwarming thank you to your wife because
you know
that I have started the Women's Auxiliary of Descendants of American Slaves, which is a group that is formed and that will be formed by the wives of the men who are involved in DASI. And so, of course, your wife and that story that you shared is the perfect example of what we as women are supposed to do and how we are to lovingly submit to our husbands and how we are to lovingly be the helpmates to our husbands. And then we have an auxiliary group for sisters who are single. And in the process of watching the sisters that are married and how to properly interact with a man and respect the man for who he is and allow a man to be a man to stand on the front line for our defense. So I want to thank your wife, Ms. Sean, and I want to thank you, brother, for your efforts and for sharing that beautiful story. You had almost had me in tears, but, I ain't no punk, so...
Well, let me say to you, sister, I want to thank you for recognizing and hearing. It was you. You just don't realize it was you this morning when I shared what my behaviors last night and I'm truly a professional and I'm a truly a perfectionist, okay? And I don't like out of order because I believe the nine fruits of the spirit. I'm a person that there's nine fruits of the spirit, and I go from the when people study the fruits of the spirit, they said love is the greatest of these, but if you go to the very end of the nine fruits of the spirit, it says self-control. So what happened about 20 years ago, I inverted those nine fruits of the spirits, and I studied from self-control all the way back down to love. And it was that I realized that one must have in discipline a self-control. And what I noticed yesterday, I was a little bit out of control yesterday, and I feel like I dishonored my organization, dishonored myself, and I dishonored you on your show. And so I wrote something beautiful to apologize for my behavior. Well, it was what you stirred that story out of me, sister. You stirred that story out of me. I had not thought. It's your comments that you
let
said
me say
back.
This. Wait a minute. Let me say this, Ms. Sean. Hold on. I don't mean to cut you off. But let me say this about last night for anybody who was on the show. We as a people have been so tolerant of so much bullshit throughout our entire tenure in this country. So most definitely, and I say this on behalf of not myself, but on behalf of my Nation Building Movement family, that, brother, your passion, your care,
your love, your dedication, your sacrifice. We can surely, I almost cussed, we can surely tolerate our brother who is working feverishly to do something for our people. If I could sit up here and watch Beyonce be half naked, if I could sit up here and watch them men sag their pants and rap about nothing, and I'm a musician and a vocalist, and that's an insult to my craft. If I could watch our people die in the streets, shoot dope in their veins, get drunk every day, I can surely tolerate a brother who is passionate about what he's doing on behalf and for the sake of our people. So please, not for me at least, not for me, please do not apologize. That's all I want to say.
Well, you know, again, Queen, it's no accident that you are part of this movement. It's no accident that you and I met. There's no accident, because you are, I identified you as the woman of Dotsie. You are Dotsie wife. You are the Dotsie wife. You are the wife of the four brothers that has formulated Dotsie, and you are the mother of Dotsie. And the reason why I'm saying this is because Dotsie is masculine. You know, the brothers that is involved with that, we're masculine, and we unapologetically heterosexual and natural, and we understand where the process of a family starts, and we understand the importance, and we do it from a fostering mentality, not a nurturing, because nurturing is feminine. That comes from a woman, okay? That's a women conversation, okay? We are masculine men, proud to be heterosexual, natural heterosexual men, and understand the importance of family. And so we also are alpha men, okay? Very clear that we are alpha men. And what we learned, and as I said yesterday, what helped us to develop to be alpha men is that we are influenced by the military. I'm a retired sergeant first class. I got a lieutenant colonel who was a company commander. I got also a sergeant, a staff sergeant who was in logistics. Okay, and then I got a young man, his father was in the military, that influenced him and everything, JC, who's influenced by it. So all the men, which is interesting, is that all of us are very comfortable in our fostering position. And what's interesting, we all know about putting a perimeter around what's important about ourselves. Our family, you try to come mess with my family, you're going to get a little problem, okay? You come messing with my wife, you're going to get met with some issues. I remember when my children were going to school, and I tell it with no problem. When my children were going to school, first thing I sent my kids out to let them know, to a public school. Your butt is to go to school and get an education, because we out here sacrificing for you to be able to go and get an education. If there's a problem with any of those teachers, okay, that's not treating you doing today, that's my business. Because I don't want to go to that school and find out. I bet not go to that school and find out you ain't going to class. You ain't doing what you need to do. You ain't doing anything. All my children, both of my kids understood that. If that teacher got a problem with you, if you feel that teacher is not giving you something today, you need to bring that crap home to me. That's my business. Your business, we sacrifice for you to go. Your business is to go to school and get whatever you're supposed to be getting. So it's interesting that both of my kids have attended both public schools, didn't have no problem getting the education. My son graduated academia scholarship, went to Duke University. He's a practicing attorney. My daughter, she got influenced by her mother and me. This is my first wife, not my current wife now. And she went to this college in Western Kentucky and graduated a master's degree in education. Check this out. See the influence. My son went to school, found a woman while he was going to college, got married, had a child after he was married, and they doing well. Been married now over 15 years. Proud of them. My daughter, no child out of wedlock. She's trying to handle her business. She ain't even trying to get pregnant and ain't letting no little shorty get in her head, because you know why? She knows. I ain't letting nobody come in, because my dad ain't putting up with that nonsense. Why? Because I have an influence in her life. So I'm sharing all that to get you to understand that all that man up come from the idea that we were developed in natural men. And so those people who wanted to learn more about what Dashi are all about, the audacity to claim that you are descendants of American slaves, it all stems from Mr. Norris Shelton, that gave us the book, America's Little Black Book, that initially said that we were not Negroes, we're not black, and we're not African Americans, but we are descendants of American slaves. And so, sister, I appreciate you telling me that I didn't have to apologize, but I have to apologize for those who felt like I was offended them. I have to apologize because it's the right thing to do to show how humble and appreciative that I don't want to do anything that's out of order. If I'm offending someone, I didn't do any. If I came across, and I have to tell my wife something. My wife tells me all the time, I come across arrogant sometimes. I come across pushy sometimes. I come across like I'm trying to have people beneath me and everything. So I have to be conscious of that. Even when people don't even think, even when I know I'm not, I have to understand that people feel that way. So I just wanted to set the tone for that and everything, and let people know that this is part two of audacity to claim descendants of American slaves. And before I bring anybody else in, we didn't do this properly. So I want you, sister, you the one who gave the title of the show yesterday. Please tell everybody, why did you come up with it? What was your intention for that? That's what I wanted to start. See, I just want everybody to hold up. We're gonna take this thing slow a little bit, okay? I want to hear, Queen, why exactly did you title the show The Audacity to Claim the Descendants? Please break it down for me. I want to know.
Well, historically, what we have tried to come back from is slavery. And so we have gone through every name change possible that offers integrity. So we went from being slaves and niggas to the Negro, and then we went from being the Negro to black, and then we got educated and said we are African American. So now I'm saying that I, along with the members of DASI, we have the audacity to say that we are descendants of American slaves, because that is truly who we are. No ifs, ands, and buts about it, because the majority of us, I would say 99.9% of us, are descendants of American slaves. And so even though some people may feel that it's undignified to refer to ourselves as slaves, well, I say that take a look around. Take a look around at your penal system today. Take a look around and see that there are 1.6 million African American black Negroes, niggas in the penitentiary, which is the rebirth of chattel slavery. Take a look around and see that you got the majority of African American people living either at or beneath the poverty line. Take a look around and see how we are drinking and drugging and being naked and hungry and outdoors. We are enslaved by something. So I have the audacity to claim that we are descendants of American slaves. And so from that, Brother Meshorn, we have an official legal claim to this country, to this land, to this opportunity, to the political forum, to get involved in the process that will level the playing field across the board for everybody, socially and economically.
So I have the audacity to say that I am a descendant of American slaves because they are the true sheroes and heroes of my country that tolerated, that suffered, that endured all the hell that they went through for our existence today. So they shall not be forgotten. And I think that we can bring pride to slavery because that's the true honor to our ancestors.
Hey, sis, yes, ma'am, and I love, see, I wanted to make sure, we didn't do that yesterday, and I want to make sure that we give clarity of why you said that. And, you know, what's so beautiful about this, and eventually you're going to be drawing more women to be involved with this. What I love about this, and I'm going to always, yes. You and I are going to always be a team, man and woman, okay, because I'm going to always be the fostering masculine side of Dossie in this show. But
right.
Sister, you're going to always be the woman in the nurturing side of this show because America deceives the demographics of people and denied and dehumanized them, and it didn't make them feel like they were human, and so made us look like we're cattle,
right.
And they done that to our men, specifically to our men. Our men wasn't acting in a natural humanity process of what it is to be an alpha, so they didn't know how to naturally defend their wives. They were prevented from being able to defend their wives. They were prevented from being able to protect their children. They were prevented from being able to seek and get after and provide a livelihood for their wives, not because they didn't want to. The demographics of people who was in the leadership position or the dominant position, and Mr. Norris said it in his book, the parent culture of European Americans, American Europeans, they were holding the position. They supposed to, you know, remember, we're talking about slaves that were bred to be ignorant. They were bred to be unintelligent. They were bred to not know themselves. They were bred to not read. They were forced to adopt a European religion. You know, the European religion of Christianity wasn't theirs, not from a natural mother, but if you are bred from a baby, from a slave, and the European culture have told you that this is the basic instructions before leaving the earth, the Bible that you need to read. But what they didn't realize that many of our cultural people, they started buying into it. We became spiritual. But we didn't really get the full understanding of that because our men could not naturally move out and protect their wives, couldn't protect their children. So I love hearing you speak from a nurturing point of view about what it is you're saying. But I'm going to go ahead and do something else because after yesterday's show and listening to the show, I come to realize that we ought to see also needed to add one more host to the show and everything because it's very important that we have that as well. And I don't do anything without having a purpose or a reason for doing it and everything. And I called this brother and everything because I thought this brother, after talking to him and listening to him and being around him and everything, I came to realize that he is an intimate role part of this show, and he has things that he wants to do. He got things. He's excited about this, and so I want to make sure he stay excited about this movement and everything and have an intimate role in the development of this movie. So I'm going to always provide a space that he's going to be the elder, the elder speaker, okay, but he's also going to keep me in check and everything, so when I get a little explosive and everything, you know, I love you, Queen, but, you know, iron sharpens iron, so I need a brother who can be able to, I gave him permission to be able to get with me and everything. What's up, Gene? You are the elder of this show. Welcome to the Focus Show, brother.
How are you, sir? Yes, sir.
Talk to me, Gene.
I want to draw back to the story that you shared in the opening, and I want the listening audience to realize what type of leadership that we're getting behind. And Michonne yourself, that demonstrates manning up, putting your money where your mouth is, and standing up as a black man for the love of your people. And I want to tell the leadership of DOTSI going forward, and if you don't already know, life is like a football game. Every play you call ain't going to work. I'm going to repeat that. 99% of the plays you call ain't going to work. Why? Because somebody's going to jump offside. Somebody's going to fumble the ball. But I say this to the leadership of DOTSI. If you just keep calling them, keep calling them, keep calling the plays, somebody's going to score, and we're going to win the game. But what you share with us was the leadership of DOTSI, and we're going to keep at the forefront of DOTSI love.
Yes.
Love conquers all fear. And if we keep that at the forefront of DOTSI, then we'll come out. Become selfless and the love for the people in the community. But some people sometimes, I've been told I've been super analytical sometimes, but I always go and dissect things after the situation. I think about it and dissect it. And when I heard of DOTSI, you know, descendants of American slaves, I said, but I'm a Muslim. I said, well, being a Muslim, am I a descendant of American slaves? Yes. That some say they're Hebrew. They this, they that, they that. Labels. When you all boil down, we're descendants of American slaves. So I dissected and thought about it. And some of you in the listening audience, you ought to do it sometime. When the sun is clear and gone down, think. We got to start thinking. And being able to get on the ground floor, DOTSI, you know, I'm excited about it, but, you know, there is no vision, the people will perish. And I'm sure DOTSI has got a vision. I hope the leadership has got a vision for DOTSI moving forward. I can just see some exciting things happening. We're going to be about business. That's first priority, is business. But we also want to have some fun. And are you in agreeable with that, Michonne and Sister Queen?
Hey, brother, you know, yeah, I am. You just don't know how much I love some fun, okay? Yes, I'm about having fun. Fun that takes care of business, okay?
Exactly.
We gotta take care of the business of what it is we need to take care of and everything. I would appreciate you and I want to make sure you understand what I said about you are now ingrained as the third host on this show, okay, for the Focus Show. And I want to make sure that you understand. Do you accept that position?
Well, yes, sir. I'm honored to. And we'll work diligently and give the 1,000% because we've got to make a change in our community. This is a must be done situation.
So I'm a military guy, so I'm taking care of the work that I need to take care of because I want to make sure that you on board, okay? Because I realize that as much what I've come to realize is that culturally we were attacked. From what it is to be a natural man. We were attacked what it was to be a natural woman. And we were attacked to deny us the wisdom of our elders from the slaves, from the Africans, from our motherland. And I'm sure my sister can hear what I'm talking about because she shared some stories about her father and the stories that have been passed on. See, it is reason, it's an intentional thing to be able to pass on stories and 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 to pass on stories. Because what that does, it allows you to be able to recognize the pattern that you come from somewhere. It's interesting that we, you know, you hear this, you know, all this, you know, talking about the immigrants coming over here and the children being separated from their parents and everything, and you know, and I'm not, hear me, I am not being insensitive to the immigrants and they need to, and the children being separated from their parents, but you know, but ever since I've had this post awakening, and ever since I have come to realize that my cultural self-preservation as an American, born here in American soil, ever since I've come to be an alpha man in my awakening that I am a descendant of American slaves, and ever since I've come now to be able to look back and see that culturally, we not properly ingrained and respected and right in America, I'm not trying to be mad. I am not trying to be evil. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I am not trying to act like I have no compassion. Got a lot of compassion. But let me explain something to you. I'm going to be very clear, and I don't want to, you can get mad all day long, but self-preservation, I have come to realize, I shall not and will not from this day forth, okay, put anyone ahead of me and my culture of people until we're right. Okay, until we got our head. And that's how I feel about when I hear someone talking about, oh, look what these children being separate. Well, we got a history, a foundation of our children being separated from their parents. And nobody said, I didn't hear all the liberal Europeans come running out and talking about that. Okay, we got a history of separation where so many of our children and so many of our family don't even know who they are because they were separated. I've never, I mean, right here in Louisville, Kentucky, we got people with tents and flags and banners and everything talking about, oh, they're separated. I've never seen the European culture or the European Catholic Church or the Protestant European Christianity Church. I ain't never seen them come out and talk about how we were descendants of American slaves since 1619, children being separated from their mothers and their fathers. And I never heard after 1776 the cry for people being hung and lynched and everything, separated from their children and from their wives. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be mad. I'm just trying to say that, you know, if I'm gonna be concerned about somebody else, I'm not gonna put them ahead of me before I get mine right first. Okay. And I wanna bring sister back in this conversation here. Do you hear what I'm saying? Am I being, this is just the fostering, this is the alpha man in me. Am I being wrong? Am I thinking to say that we need to be concerned? Because see, the audacity to claim that I'm a descendant of American slaves is the first say that I care about those who look like me, who've been through the struggle like me, and my children and everything who's affected by this country. I need to put things in place to protect them, put around them. Am I wrong to say that, you know, I need to be concerned about that? Queen.
No, you're not wrong for saying that, and we touched on that briefly in another aspect last night, because I believe that the debt is paid, and when I say the debt is paid, I mean that I think that we paid for.
You're breaking up. I want to make sure you're breaking up on me.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you now. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. No, I was saying that I agree with you, and no, I don't think you're wrong, because as far as any debts that are owed, I think we have paid for those in full. And what I mean by that, we touched on an aspect of that last night when we talked about our economics and how we have invested in every other
ethnic group success except for our own. So at this point in time, when we are the ones that are suffering, it is a time for us to be selfish, because we can't be caring and sharing when we don't have anything to share for ourselves and amongst ourselves. The problem with immigrants and what is going on with them, I would say that's unfortunate for them, but that's a trial of another people. We have our own trials to contend with, and I think that has to be the focus. We have a very submissive nature, and we have a very empathetic and sympathetic nature. But when it comes to us turning a mirror on self and turning a mirror on our own community and grasping the suffering of our own people and not being inspired to create change, that's what I have a problem with. So my role in Dasi, not only being the feminine entity of Dasi, I have an obligation to promote what we are doing in Dasi for the betterment of our people. And the first thing that we have to do is educate them on the importance of claiming their birthright. And their birthright is a descendant of American slaves. Because when we get ready to address issues like they want to address reparations in the UN, we have the key component to tell them that the reason why you've been unsuccessful all these years, Silas Muhammad, leader of the New Nation of Islam, has been to the UN 8 times on behalf of African American people. But you have to realize that we were not brought here as African American people. We were brought here as slaves. And if you're going to represent our people in forms of reparations, if you're going to represent our people in forms of legislation, if you're going to represent our people in form of policy, you must honor the stepping stone that brought us here, and that is the slaves. And we are the descendants of them.
Amen. Amen. I want to go ahead and bring this brother on and everything. He was he was one of the brothers that gave me some insight on some things. And hey, what's up? 8022. You've been listening to the show. You want to add some comments to what's going on? I ain't even gonna say your name because you like to be a little mysterious and everything. But welcome to the Focus Show, man. 8022, your mic is hot. You on?
Oh, my bad, Michonne. I had it on mute. But hey, one thing I'd like to add to this: I was speaking to someone who has a relative that works at one of these facilities with these children.
Yes.
And this is brother that told the truth. These children, most all of these children, were not separated from their parents. They were being They were smuggled in. All that you hear on the news is propaganda. It's not true. You know, there were a few that were separated from their parents because their parents got arrested. But the majority of these kids were smuggled in by these drug smugglers. And I think we have to realize that the United States is a country. Yeah, they were caught with smugglers. Yes, that's not what they're not telling on the news. See, the news likes to distract you with BS, and then you got all these fools standing out here in front of this federal building, you know, talking about put families back together, when the majority of those kids were caught with human smugglers. That's the problem with reuniting them with their families. Like, where are their families at? You know, but they got people like me and you on the bottom sitting here screaming, you know, like they just took them away from their parents, and that ain't true. And I know somebody that has
a family. That's a human distraction.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the distraction. They want to use American sympathy, but let me tell you something briefly about trafficking. All your people that come up missing are not necessarily missing. All these young girls
exactly.
that come up missing and you don't never find nobody, trust and believe me. Your
Your people are over there, probably in England, probably in Tokyo, being sex trafficked. These children are being sex trafficked because what people don't realize in this freakish ass, demonic ass country we live in is that pornography in itself is a $40 billion a year business. Mm. But guess what's so sad? Guess what's so sad about that shit? The economic requirement for child pornography is three times that as of adult pornography.
Yep,
meaning that we are living in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so soon, I believe that this will become a revelation because we got people who are outside of the FBI entities, because, you know, I'm just going to tell the truth, the FBI, the CIA, the DEA, all of these organizations are benefiting from pornography and child pornography, okay? Because if they can catch the guy on the corner that just sold a nickel bag of weed, you mean to tell me that you can't catch people that are smuggling whole people? And not only that, if I tried to leave the country today without a passport, they would hem me up like I was a common criminal. You mean to tell me we got American girls over there turning tricks like it's legal? How did they get out of the country? And you mean to tell me nobody at the borders, nobody at the airport, nobody at the port authority even know that this is going on? Well, no, you don't know it's going on because your palms are being greased. Now what's going to happen is that they're going to get the sympathy of America. Then America is going to keep these children here. And God knows what's going to happen to these children if they are the children of parents that are being arrested and if they are being smuggled in. America has always been a pimp. And America has always been weak for sex. And when I say America, I'm talking about your government officials. They've always turned a blind eye to sex abuse and drug abuse. Drug abuse was never a problem until it showed up on Wall Street. So, yes, I believe that. I believe what the brother is saying is accurate because it ain't nothing new. It's a common practice. That's why I say you need to watch your children. You need to watch who's around your children.
The thing that disgusts me the most about these protests and these liberal white folks, that, you know, these good white folks, is you got what? What they got, about 3,000 kids that they said are separated from their parents? When you got about 100 to 150,000 children in this country that go missing every year, and nobody says shit. But then they want to be down here acting a damn fool, pitching tents in front of this federal building. You got 100-some thousand kids alone that come up missing. There's thousands of people, men and women, that go missing every year. They just fall off the face of the earth every year. At least 65,000 black women every year go missing. Where the hell are these people at? And nobody's batting an eye. Nobody's raising hell about it. But then you get these kids who are brought in here for sex for these rich European men, if we won't keep it real, you know, because they've always had an appetite for children. Go back in history.
Right.
So you can go to your local, you go to your Catholic churches and look at the sculptures on these Catholic churches around the world and see the little boys with their
hands
up under.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we've got to keep it real. You know, why were these kids brought in here by smugglers?
Yeah.
And then open your newspaper every day. Sex with kids, big business. Big business.
Mm.
You know.
Hey, I want to go ahead and bring in my brother. What's up, man? Up, Adolf. Welcome to the Focus Show, man.
Hey, how you doing, Adolf? Man? I'm just checking out. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
You've been a long time partner of mine. You've been knowing me. You've been the second longest person, because Marcus is on the line too. Marcus has been knowing me 30 years. You've been knowing me second longest person knowing me and everything. And you have seen me come progress and come from one thing to the next thing. And brother, you have been there for me and supported me. And you also been one of those brothers who's been, ragging on me about this descendants of American slaves. And I think you are now starting to, I don't want to speak for him. I'm going to let you speak on that. I think he's starting to come around a little bit. So I see that maybe me showing might be something about this descendants of American slaves. So share what you think about this descendants of American slaves. As you have literally watched where it came from until where it's at now. So talk to me, bro.
Well, let me say this to Brother Marcus. Marcus, I know it's been a burden, man. Yeah, I've been knowing that brother for such a long time. And, I'm here to share the burden. But knowing Brother Michon is truly a blessing and a curse. Let me say that. But one thing I will give you credit for, you are focused on the Dasi, as you all may call it. You are definitely focused on that, and it has its pros, and it definitely has its cons as well. It's like everything else. But one thing, I was just to the sister, and she was saying at least 98, 99% of people are black people are slaves. I don't think that's accurate. I'm not just trying to discredit you, but I just think that there's a lot of black people that came to this country that wasn't slaves. And so I guess, do they reap the benefits of the ones who are fighting for the name, because one of the important things of what you all are doing that I must wholeheartedly agree with you is that we can't be called by a color. A color does not have a state. A color does not have a country. And we have to be recognized. We need to be recognized, and we have to have our own country. Everybody, every ethnic has its country, and it seems that we don't have a country except this country that we're living in, that we're born in. And believe me, it's very unfair the way that we get treated. But the efforts of what you all are doing, I'm grateful for, and I hear that, and it's like the movement is growing like a snowball, has a snowball effect, and I'm very curious to see how far you all are willing to go and the support that you're going to get and what will become of it, because you've got a huge battle ahead of you.
Yes, sir. Well,
okay.
I appreciate you.
Hey,
well, can I respond to Adolph for a minute? Okay. Adolph, we are not talking about necessarily the people who came here voluntarily, because we have African American people that in the 1700s, or no, let me take that back, in the 1600s, that may have come here voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
However,
they were already
when you
here.
Look at, well, you got some that came here from the beginning. But like I said, the ones that are existing today, the people that are existing today, not the ones that came in here voluntarily and then branched off into American culture, but the majority of people that have come here, I mean, that are here today in existence, and I mean 3, 4, 5 generations from slavery, 99.9% of them are descendants of American slaves. Now, if you came over here voluntarily, that's one thing. But when we're talking about from the period of slavery, the people in existence today, that is the majority of the African American population. Those
that's not
that
true.
Come from
that's not
from
true.
Dominican, okay.
No, that's not true.
Those that come from Dominican
Look,
Republic.
I'm
going to
read you a definition from the 1828
sure.
Webster's Dictionary. 1828
okay.
Webster's Dictionary. See, you're on the airwaves and you're putting out false information, so you got to stop that because people are listening. 1828
no, sir.
Webster's says an American
absolutely
American,
not.
American
no, sir.
Is a native
no, sir.
A native of America
no.
The original copper colored races found here on this land by the Europeans. That's the definition of an American.
Sure.
So
99%, 99%, those African Americans are descendants of American slaves. Now you talk about
that's right.
The
pits of hell.
That's the actual fact, sir.
Where's your proof at? Where's your proof?
How?
Sir.
Gentlemen. If you want the proof, go into the US Census. You can go you can get your proof. Go into the U.S. Census, and when you go into the U.S. Census, you can click on generated populations from slavery. Okay?
Okay.
Wait a minute, but they have it broken down.
Google Walter Pletcher. They have it broken down in fragments that I don't necessarily agree with. One at a time.
One at a time.
I'm not going to argue your point. I'm going to say check your census. It's fake. You got to make sure. See what she's done. They have misclassified millions of people who are already here. People that look just like you and me. They misclassified them.
What?
The dark skinned people that was here that look like you and me. They classified them as Negro. We were always here. There's no place on this planet that we were not. You can't just say 99% of the people here are descendants of slaves. They have proven that the slave ships were so small that it would have took them.
Let me ask you a question. Those people that you mentioned that came that were already here, were they at today?
What?
Were they at today?
They're classified as slaves. They're classified as sons of slaves.
They're me and you.
So,
they misclassified
me
and the people
you.
On purpose.
So, wait a minute. Let me finish, sir. What are we? We're descendants of American slaves.
They were all not 99%. Slaves. Man, what are you talking about? Slaves couldn't own land. My family owned land in the 1800s. So what do you mean? Everybody wasn't a slave.
Well, if your family owned land in the 1800s, where were they located? What state
were they in? They were in the South.
Where?
In Kentucky, in Tennessee.
Where?
In Kentucky, Tennessee.
So your people owned land, and your African-American ancestors owned land
in Tennessee. Hold on, time out. You can't use that term African American because
I can use whatever term I want.
Hold on. Do you have Google right now? Look up the 1828 Webster's Dictionary for American. There were copper colored people found here by the Europeans that was already here. They wasn't brought over here on no slave ship, and it's a proven fact that the slave ship should not have brought that many people here.
Excuse me. Let me jump in here, please. All right.
Because I guess you're forgetting that when they killed the 200 million so-called Native Americans that was on this land, who were indigenous people who were blacker in hue that me and you and most people, when they took this land from the so-called Native Americans that were already here, then everything that was black, brown, red, yellow, whatever color they were, they went out. Because you had people that were fighting the Europeans from this land.
They didn't kill all those people. I'm telling you facts, lady. I'm a student
of history. They
did not kill.
Right now
they did not
that
kill all those people.
Then you and
hey, let me tell you something. I will go to my grave fighting against you because my people, everybody wasn't a slave.
Well, you don't have to be included. You can take you and your family and be included from slavery. I'm going to be on this show
because you're putting out misinformation that you have no idea. They misclassified those dark people.
Goldie, hold up. Hey, Gene, hold up. Stop. Hold up. up, okay? Here's the problem that I've already had these discussions before, okay? This is why I said before that I said on the earlier show yesterday, an IV, sometimes you got to do an IV, everybody IV, of getting information. You know, they put an IV in to be able to give people working in medical because you want to give them fluid so they be able to get the nourishment. Not everybody's IV is able to receive the information. So we got to do what we call small drips. And I just want to say, get some consensus. I'm starting with some consensus. Small drips here first. When you look at, we're not talking about none of the people who were already here. Let's get this clear. We ain't talking about that. We ain't talking about none of the people. None. We ain't talking about none of the people who came here freely. We got to get this is why it says basic knowledge first. We're not talking about none of the people. Listen, we ain't talking about none of the people who are already here. We're not talking about none of the people who came here.
And
we're
no large consistent of black people owning land in the South.
Hey, the term black didn't show up in the 1700s. So if you want to get some real factual history, you're talking to the wrong one, lady. Black was a term brought up by Blumenberg and Francois Bernero, if you want to go into history
whatever
and fact.
They weren't land owners, and they were not free men and women running around here in 1800 Tennessee owning land. So if that was the case, you are part of that 1%.
All right, Queen, relax. It's so important. Goldie, I put your mic on hold, okay? Because one of the biggest things, this is not my first rodeo in this conversation, okay? And Goldie makes a valid point from what he's saying. I am not going to disprove that what he's saying don't have merits. But what Goldie need to understand, just like everything, there is a specific focus. We're focused on a specific demographics of people. A very specific demographics of people. We know that the European culture did a color cast. I wish Leonard was here, because Leonard is very much more articulated in putting this together. America indoctrinated a color cast system means that everybody was jumbled into the same terminology because European culture wanted to dominate based on color. White was the dominant, and anybody who wasn't white, no make no difference whether you were bred here, came from somebody, or you were already here, you were all jumbled into the same classification and identification. But when we at DOSSI specifically are focusing on, we know for a fact that slaves were brought from Africa, period. We know that. We also know that the slave movement was stopped. The transatlantic stopped. They stopped being able to do that. So America, because they tried, this is a business. I'm only talking about the business side of this. All that emotional stuff that we get caught up on, this is business we're trying to take care of, okay? On the business side of this, America went into business to engineer their own slaves, okay, on American soil. Historically, it's already said there are 15 slave states in America that was before they formed the Union. There were 15 southern states that were producing slaves on American soil. Those children and those people, before America even incorporated in 1776, this country had already what we call engineered producing unintelligent demographics of people who were bred from the soil all the way up into this country as slaves. We're talking about those specific individuals. G, am I right or wrong? G, am I right or wrong?
Bashan, it's Brother Gene.
Yes.
Bashan, it's Brother Gene. Can I have a
yes,
minute?
Yes, sir.
what the brother is saying is that, you know, Africans was here and came here voluntarily. Okay. We all know there are signs that blacks was here long before Christopher Columbus came to America.
So
that's an actual fact.
That's an actual fact.
Okay, now he's talking about those who came here voluntarily. If they came from the Caribbean or West Africa, South Africa, came over here voluntarily, they are not considered African, quote-unquote, Americans. They come as immigrants. We're talking about the 4th and 5th and 6th generation that are here, have been here, 99% of them are descendants of American slaves. I don't care how you, that is an actual fact. Though we know that blacks were here long before the Indians were here. We kicked the Indians out. We kicked them here into what we once was called West Asia. They were put out of civilized society. And bandits here, so that's evidence. But another thing I want to say, and I'm going to stop. The brother said we got a battle ahead of us. What, brother, are you afraid of battles? Are you a one that's going to sit on the sideline and watch? And that's why we're in the condition that we're in, because we got people like you are going to sit on the sideline and watch. And after we go out and plow the land and pick your crop, and it's dinner time, now you want to come and sit at the dinner table. I'm damn.
Hey,
may I
speak? Because, I mean, he said we had a battle. I didn't say y'all had a battle. I didn't say they had a battle. I said we. We, to me, the definition of we is inclusive.
You got a battle ahead of you.
Yes, we have a battle ahead of us. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right? And
those
I'm saying that I'm
sure.
In it, too. I mean, I'm not trying to escape out of it. I'm black all day long. So, yes, I've been mistreated. Yes, I don't like what's going on. Yes, I'll stand up for myself anytime and all time. But for you to consider me standing on the sidelines is a misrepresentation of me. Now, I have to stand up for myself. Whether nobody else does, I will. And I would throw the first, whatever. I would throw the first if I need be, because I am who I am. And so if it's a battle of saying, being a man about who you are and being straight up about what you're made of and what you represent and what you stand for, I'm all for that. I'm not the one that talked about Kaepernick because he's on his knees. See, I'm with him. I don't talk about him. I talk to him.
Okay, listen up. I'm opening up the lines.
Okay,
May I say something,
please, before?
Yes.
I just want to share a bit of history, just a little bit. I'm not going to tell you the long version. But I have the privilege and the honor of being third generation from my on my father's side, from my homeland, from my home village, Kasarani, in Kenya. My grandfather came in and out of Canada between 1840-something to 1860. My grandfather was captured as a slave defending a woman trying to cross into Canada to be to try to go to freedom. She wanted to go into Canada. There were people that were blocking the borders that was illegal. And as this woman was being beaten, my grandfather, being the man that he was, came to her defense, was hit in the head, and woke up on a plantation in Tennessee. And my grandfather was enslaved for approximately 5.5 years. And during that time on that plantation, my father encountered many slaves. And on the way after freedom between Tennessee and Louisiana, my grandfather encountered many, many slaves. And very few And that's just a handful. I'm not talking about all over the South. But very few going from here to, going from Tennessee to Louisiana, going from Tennessee down through Florida. Many of the slaves that he encountered were fourth and fifth generational slaves. He was the only out of all the people he encountered, he was the only African that he encountered. He encountered hundreds of people. So just in that history, even if you take a consensus from the people that he interacted with, that will show you that original people had been wiped out by the European invaders. They didn't just kill the Native Americans. They killed anybody that took a stake in this country because they came for the slaughter. They came for the takeover. And the only ones that sided with them were the weak, the sick, the scared. They sided with them and helped turn on their people. Those people and their ancestors don't hardly exist today. That's the 1%. That's the 1% that's sitting on the plantation that may have been able to pass for a Native American, that lived through the slaughter, that went through the negotiations and settled for the reservation, for the preservation of a people. So if I say something, I don't guess what I say. I'm a statistic wizard. That's my nickname. That's actual facts. Now you bring your facts. That's
hey,
all
Ms.
I got Lobster. To say.
Yes, Ms. Queen. Yes, let's make sure we're trying to do here. It's important that we have these dialogues and these conversations because unless we together and what it is that we're trying to accomplish, we cannot accomplish what we're trying to get. Now, I don't open up all the lines because I got a lot of people.
I got a question. I got a question to ask if you don't mind.
Just a minute. There are rules that put this together. I won't be able to speak, but I want to get heard and then be heard and allow. Don't speak long. Is that a lot of people in this line? Like I'm trying to. I want people to be.
Yeah.
And come on, and then get out. Let other people get. Go ahead. Say what you're gonna say. Say
yeah.
Your
let
name,
me talk. Let me get in there and say this. This is Mr. Pianchi. You know, when Columbus came to the United States, Africans came with him. Some brought slaves with them here because, and it wasn't based on skin color. A slave was a slave. Only later on would it become based on skin color. Another point. In your southern states, you had many of your slave masters were women. They were mulattoes who married other mulattoes who held dark skins as slaves for the simple reason because when their masters died, they were meritoriously emancipated. And they took on the heirship of his plantation or his land, and theirs too. There's a lot of dynamics that was going on. African tribes on the continent, they fought against each other. The Ashanti, for one, the Akan, which they are part of. Many Akan tribes fought others. The Awe, which my wife is from, the Ga, they combined forces together to fight these marauding raiders who would come into their villages, kill, plunder, pillage, steal cattle, and so on and so on. When they was caught and they could not pay for what they done, then they were sold in order to make compensation in order to account for what they done. Now, here's another thing. Many of those that was sold who was caught, they were brought here to the States. They are the ancestors of many blacks today. Those ancestors of blacks whose ancestors done these miraculous things, they owe reparations to these African tribes where this stuff went on. Think about it. The debt still is
okay.
There. And another point.
So,
well, no, it's there. Let me finish. And they know of it. Exactly. I was talking to some people who was Ashanti yesterday. They say, yeah, we know of this debt because the people that we sent away still they ran, and some ran and tried to escape. They still owe for the plunder, the stealing of cattle, the burning of structures, and also the raping, killing of women. Now, another
okay.
thing, I've heard people say, and I'm going to be real quick. You can go to
yeah,
your
but
case.
We got five. Hold up. Hey, listen, did you, I can't allow
this
you to
this is
going to
be real good right here. You don't want to miss this.
Hold up. We got
I
five
I hear people
minutes.
Talk.
Hold up. Just a minute.
I'm not going to
no,
say
no.
it, but 30 seconds. I could have been done.
No. Listen. I only have 5 minutes, and I do a closeout on my show, okay? And what I'm going to do, all right, is that I'm only – we're going to have – I got 5 minutes
well, go ahead
left.
With your closeout. I'll just listen. You don't have
okay.
to explain. You're wasting time.
You know, your closeout, you get to say what you're going to say, but you got to do it less than – you got to let do it less.
I
want
could have been done, sir.
Line, I want, no, I want everybody in this line to be heard, okay? And
all
close
right.
it out. That's so. So you start
I'm gonna
to
say,
get done
let
quick.
Me say this real fast. I've heard people talk about the millions of quote-unquote Africans that was here. The question is, there's no proof. Where are their cemeteries? Where are the food? Because they wouldn't came here and adapted the food that was here. They would have brought things here. Bananas and such was not introduced during the time period that I hear people say all this happened. Now, I'm not saying that some folks did not explore. They did. But these millions, where are the evidence of their townships, where they live? Where are the cemeteries where they buried their dead? Because Africans was not cremated. That's a question I ask, many people ask.
All right. Appreciate it. Queen, I want you to be last. Gene, you next. Go ahead.
May I yield, sir? My time?
Go,
to Queen.
Okay, Queen. I like what's it? Adolf, go ahead. Next. Adolf?
Hey,
all
sir,
right.
I'm
sorry. My bad. I was going to say that I understand that Christopher Columbus didn't really discover America. I thought he went to the Caribbean Islands is what I thought he discovered. But anyway, hey, it's been a good show. I appreciate it, man. It opened my eye, made me want to do some more research, and I want to come correct. And I appreciate everybody's contribute. All right?
Thank you. Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Go ahead, Marcus.
Well, of course, I very seldom say anything, but I will say this, that hope is the belief in the plausibility of the possible as opposed to the necessity of the probable. And what that translates to for me is that the likelihood that David could slay Goliath was pretty slim, but he believed that he could, and just so happened he was able to. And so it's always important for us that if we believe in the plausibility of the possible as opposed to the necessity of the probable, then we have some place to go.
Hey, man. And that was the
Amen.
Vice president. That's the vice
Amen.
President of God. Hey, man. Well said, bro. Who's next? Anybody else before? Come on. I got people on this line that needs to want to have a conversation. Who want to have a conversation? Close out with me. Go ahead. Anybody else? What about this 2613? All right. Listen up. I ain't going to sit around and beg nobody to say something. Go ahead, Ms. Quinn. You go ahead and close us out.
Okay. All I want to say is this. I am a Dossie advocate. I am about the principles of Dossie and its purpose. We can argue about the origin of the earth and of the country and who was here first and who died and where they at. But I think we're missing the point because the focus of this show is supposed to be about Dossie, getting people familiar with Dossie, moving forward in the program to build something to better our people. And I think that's where we need to keep the focus. Everybody is passionate about something, and we will probably never all agree. And all I say is this. I wouldn't beg anybody to do anything. All I'm saying is if you with it, you with it. If you're against it, you're against it. But Dossie in itself will move forward in the plan that we have
to claim our rightful ownership in this country. And that's all I got to say, because I don't want to argue with anybody.
Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for being on this show and we having this conversation. I want to say that everybody has a valid point in what it is that they bring, but I want to be very clear. Dossie Intentions is about changing the things that has been hurting those who currently identify themselves as Negroes, Blacks, and African Americans. This is about a legal battle about being able to participate in the commerce that America has already made off of the lives of people who were born and raised here in America that gave this country free labor that this country has not identified us properly. It is our intention and belief that America actually participated in deceiving us away from knowing who we truly are, because America do not want us to acknowledge that we have birthrights and authority in this country. And the only way to make America see us and acknowledge us, to make sure that they see us for who we are, that we are the children of this country, is that we have to come under the legal terminology that we are truly descendants of American slaves. And that's all Dossie is focusing on. One focus at a time is getting our identity right. And then after that, commerce and everything else will be built on it. So stay tuned. The Focus Show. We'll be back next week with another show to continue the unlearn to relearn process that we are the descendants of American slaves. Love you all. I appreciate you, right? Y'all take care.
Good evening.